The Business Buzz Podcast.
Good evening and welcome to the Business Buzz right here on VOW FM 88.1. The time has just gone by 1 after 6 p.m., which means it's time for us to give you your weekly dose of business and economics news right here on the Business Buzz. My name is Mudewa Mob, Justice Kawaz, and I'm joined in studio by my partner in crime, Ms. Slingiwe Zondo. How are you, Slingiwe?
I'm good. Thanks, you, Mudewa. How are you doing?
No, I'm all right. I wish the people could, see into the studio. I feel like VOW FM needs to invest in some video equipment.
Oh, my God.
Because Sling was sporting a different look for us today, shout out, we see you.
Oh, but you're a lot.
But anyway, how you been? How was your week?
No, the week was a really productive week.
Yeah.
It was filled with a lot of good moments.
Yeah.
Some of them worth sharing, some of them not. But it's been a good week overall. How's your week been?
No. My week has been good.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to put Slingy on the spot just one more time because if you haven't already seen this, Slingy was actually in some Instagram ads. I just need to
put Jesus what do you are?
No, today bro. They must know.
I feel like the show is not on intellectual property today. It's on Slingy was on
though. But anyway, yes, today's show is around the issue of intellectual property. We're going to be discussing what intellectual property is, why is it important, but specifically we're going to be looking at it as it pertains to the creative industry. We're talking to creatives, the artists, your musicians, trying to find out what is this intellectual property thing about. We hear about royalties, trademarks, copyrights and the like. How do you get the protections, and is it something that is actually a thing in South Africa? So that's how our show is going to be looking. We're going to be talking to two creatives, and then we're going to be talking to a lawyer who specializes in intellectual property. Otherwise, that's how the show is going to go. And then after that, we are going to be getting into our business wrap. We have Zanele Kunene from BDO, our wealth advisors, who's going to be giving us the week's top trending business and economics news, and then followed by Tlingi Wezondo, who's going to be letting us know what your 100 Rand can actually do for you out there in the intellectual property market. Otherwise, you can keep in touch with us and let us know if you are an artist, if you're a musician, are you registering your works, your music, your art with the appropriate bodies. You can let us know on social media. Otherwise, if you're not an artist, do you even know what a copyright is? Do you know? Just now we heard from Kay that she actually got a copyright violation from an Instagram live video. So, it's going to be affecting us in a lot of big ways. I think, how can people be getting in touch with us?
Our listeners can find us on Voice of Vets FM 88.1 and on the following social media platforms. On Facebook, we are VOW FM, Voice of Vets, and Vets Radio Academy. On Twitter, they can find us at the handle at VOW FM, and our hashtag is BusinessBuzz. On WhatsApp, we can be found on 084-078-4912. And they can also stream the station live on www.vowfm.co.za. And they can also find our podcasts of the show on www.vits.journalism.co.za/business.
So make sure you keep it locked. We're here until about 7 p.m. On the other side of this, we get into our business wrap.
The Business Buzz.
It's time for us to get into our business wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you the week's top trending business and economics news. On the line, we are joined by our financial expert. We have Zanele Kunene, who is from BDO Wealth Advisors. How are you, Zanele?
Oh, Mudewa, I'm so, so excited, hey? We had the job summit today.
Yeah.
And we're having it again tomorrow. And the reason why I'm excited about this conference is because they have 25 actionable plans.
Yeah.
Because, we usually have, all these conferences, but nothing happens from them. We have, planning, but no implementation. So now I'm, excited because there's an immediate action that will happen. It must happen because they said it must happen. So I'm excited about that.
So can you just give us a roundup for those that might be living underneath the cave and aren't particularly aware that there's a job summit going on? What's actually going on? Who is attending? And then what are some of the key results and figures that have come out of this?
So the people that are attending is our amazing president, Ramaphosa, as well as other delegates and other private people who business leaders as well are also going to be there. So what's happening right now, let's just look, is that the unemployment rate in South Africa, we are currently at about 27.2%. And the problem with that is that 9.6 million South Africans or people who reside in our country are unemployed. And the worrying stat about that is that about 38% of that 9.6 million are young people. So that's like a huge number of young people who could be contributing within the economy that are not doing so. So one of the aims of the entire summit is that one of the future aims is that they'd like to reduce the unemployment rate to about 14% by 2020 and 6%. By 2030. So, Mudu, I'm asking you, do you think it's possible? Can we reach 6% by 2030?
I think it's very ambitious, to be honest, because if we look at the various policies that have been given over the last, I'd say, 15 to 20 years, everyone is always trying to bring this figure down, and it's very tough. But the one more thing for me would just be, when we talk about unemployment, we often forget about the people that used to look for jobs but decided that it was too hard. So what are we going to do about those people?
That's the important question. How do you encourage them or bring them back into the economy? How do you excite them? But government will definitely find a way, because Ramaphosa did say when he came in power, he said he wants to revive the economy and also boost job creation. So we need to stand by him, as even business as well as public and private business need to support him in doing so. But let's look at the consumers. So how do we sum up 2018? Fuel hike. That's how we sum it up. So the fuel increased by about 17 rand. And the reason for that, the reason behind the increase was 17 rand per liter, sorry. But the reason behind it is that the average international product prices influenced it, as well as the exchange rate pressures that the rand has been facing. So the rand has been under a whole lot of pressure because the dollar has been strengthening, because they have increased their interest rates and investors are loving it. So the rand has been weakening due to that, as well as the World Bank when it stated that it has cut its economic growth forecast for our country from about 1.4% to 1%. So they don't see that, you know, our economy is going to get any better. But we should really look in a positive way. We've got the stimulus, the multi-million rand stimulus package that Ramaphosa presented. So we really need to look at the efforts that are being presented to us to actually fix the situation. And the rand is at 14 rand, 69 rand. Well, it was at 14 rand, 69 rand today.
So Zenele, just for you, in terms of the summit itself, what are some of the things that you are hoping to actually come out of this? As you said at the start, most of the time we have these conferences, people just talk and talk, and then, you know, nothing actionable actually happens on the ground. But what are you hoping will actually come out of this, you know, for you in terms of engagement?
For me, I think one of the biggest key things is that young people are able to present their ideas and that they're actually heard. One of the things that Ramaphosa said, I actually refer to Ramaphosa quite a lot. one of the things he mentioned was that he wants to do away with the whole entire work experience.
Yeah.
That a lot of companies ask for. And I think that will help, because that is a restriction. If you're out of varsity, where are you going to find 3 years of experience? so I'm really looking forward to them adding practical things that can be implemented immediately, not long-term strategies, things that companies can implement today. you know, that they could revise their books and do today. Like, there could be a financial plan to it, you know. You plan, you implement, you review, you adjust, and you go again, you know. There has to be a process to it.
And then lastly, is the job summit something that the markets can actually be directly looking at and reacting to? Or is it something that we will eventually see when plans actually start being implemented?
So with the job summit, or with anything that is meant to make the economy, the South African economy grow, it's really good for investors. They really get excited. But we haven't seen much excitement from it because the markets have been quite flat. But an interesting fact that I read today was that in the first 3 months of 2018, our South African bonds and equities shrank from about 89.4 billion to about 16.6 billion. So that's a huge, you know, shrinkage that happened. And that was due to a lot of factors, our political stability, you know, a lot of things are happening in our country. But now that we are actually putting together structural reforms, that will attract more and more investors to come back and to look at our emerging market and say, yes, it's time to invest in South Africa again.
So that was us with our financial expert. We're talking to Zanele Kunene, who is our financial expert from BDO Wealth Advisors, giving us a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. As you heard, the big thing this week is the job summit that's actually being attended by President Cyril Ramaphosa. And some of the results coming out is the fact that South Africa's unemployment rate is actually sitting at around 27.2%. And I think Zanele alluded to the fact that around 9.1 million people are jobless at the moment. The other key things coming through is just the fact that we should be looking at some inflationary pressures, as the price of fuel specifically has actually now touched that 17 rand mark, and it's also putting a bit of pressure on the rand as well, because as things go up and at the same time the US dollar is actually strengthening, it makes the rand less attractive, and at the same time you have your prices rising, so it's putting a lot of pressure on the markets. On the whole, you heard that the markets are actually quite positive because the job summit is happening and investors are actually keen to see if any good developments are going to come out from this. So we wait and see, and possibly next week we'll have some concrete results around what the summit was actually able to achieve. On the other side of this, we are going to be telling you the state of your 100 Rand. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to The Business Buzz. Business Buzz.
It's time for us to get into our Buffalo Index. That's the part of the show where we tell you the state of your 100 Rand. And we have the lovely Tlengiwe to just give us that roundup. Tlengiwe?
Yes. So the state of your 100 Rand, things are looking very tight. But as we have sort of managed to do in the recent past, we make the most of what we have.
Yep.
So since we're talking about intellectual property today, we're going to be looking at patents, designs, and trademarks. There's some things that you obviously need to know or to do as a person or as a business if you want to protect yourself from somebody that's deciding that your idea should be theirs. But I warn you, it is going to be pricey and you will need a few buffaloes.
Yeah.
So there's a different categories. And the first one, like we said, is patents. So patents is basically when you have a new invention,
yeah,
you know, something that's novel, you're bringing something new to the market and you are looking to protect it. You have to first do an official search to see if someone has already patented that idea already. And you can do some free searches online or get a company to do it professionally for about 3,950. So that's almost 40 buffaloes. And usually you'll do a provisional patent specification that gives you a year to play around and test the idea before you file properly. If you've done this with a lawyer, you're looking at between 15,000 and 25,000 rands, but there are cheaper options that are available, like IdeaNav Patent Toolkit online. That's just under a buffalo for just 60 rand. After a year, you're South African, you would need to now officially file the patent, the application, and you need to do this with an attorney, and there you're looking at 8,950 rand all the way up to around 25,000 rands. Remember that this is just the local one, that when you're looking to protect your idea locally. And then on to our second part of today's state of your 100 Rand, we're looking at designs. So we said patents protect your invention. And then in terms, but a design protection will protect like the actual shape of your articles. So maybe if you have a particular pattern on your fashion clothing or range, or you've designed a chair that has a particular shape that helps it function better. I know recently there was like foldable furniture that was designed and engineered specifically for small spaces. So something of that sort. If you want, are you looking to protect that particular design, this is what you would do. You would get these designs protected for a period of 10 to 15 years, and you would have to pay an annual renewal fee. And the actual file application itself is only around 2.4 buffaloes, which is 240 rand. But through a lawyer, your initial application is between 5,000 to 8,000 rands, or 50 to 80 buffaloes. And then last but not least, we are looking at trademarks. So a trademark is going to protect trading names and brands. So for example, in terms of, you know, this particular term McDonald's, or that yellow big M, or the slogan I'm loving it. So those are the items that you would trademark. The application fee for a trademark lasts 10 years is 590 rand, so just under, so just over five buffaloes. You can do this alone, but even the CIPC, which is the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission, advises that you want to be sure that you go through a lawyer, so you make sure that, you know, it's done properly, and that'll go for about 3,000 to 7,000 rands. Yes.
So you are studying science.
Yes,
so which
I am.
One? So do you think you'd go for a patent if you ever, you know, hit on the next discovery?
I'm hoping. Like, honestly, I'm just like, you know, you hear all these interesting terms that we touch on on the Business Buzz, like the fourth industrial revolution and blockchain and this and that. Like, I mean, I want to come up with something so unique and so novel that it changes the complete trajectory of what it is, you know, that, you know, we understand as the future to be. I definitely want something like that to happen. But then I have to come up with the idea first before I can patent it.
Well, we're hoping that you come up with
idea. I'm hoping so too, buddy.
On the other side of this, we're going to be getting into our main discussion. We are talking intellectual property. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz.
Welcome back to The Business Buzz. Today we are talking the issue of intellectual property. How do you protect your works, either as a creative of some sort? And what a lot of people don't realize is the fact that, you know, scientific discoveries are a form of creative intellect. But today specifically, we're looking more towards artistry, things like music. We're looking at fashion and the like. How do you protect your ideas? How do you make money from your ideas? How do you make sure that other people don't profit from your ideas where you have put in the hard work to develop that idea? Very interestingly, when we talk about this, I am amused to think about 50 Cent for a moment, because when 50 Cent first started in the industry, he actually trademarked his name. So from the beginning of his 50 Cent career, no one can use his likeness, his image, his name or anything like that without giving him some money. And if you think about the way that gossip sites and a lot of people go about making products and, you know, kind of shifting just a young picture of a certain celebrity for nothing, you know. And so it was quite interesting. And I was like, that guy was really, really smart.
Yeah.
So you can let us know. Keep in touch with us in the conversation on Facebook. We have our FM, that's Voice of Vids. And you can also find our own Facebook page. We have the Vids Radio Academy Facebook page. And then on Twitter, we're at Vow FM, and our hashtag is #BusinessBuzz. It's time for us to get into our main topic, and we have our first guest on the line.
So I'm sure after you've labored hard and you have come up with original designs and original work, the last thing you want is somebody else to be profiting off your hard labor. So we're going to be talking to Tuelo Nguyuza, who's the founder of Tuelo Nguyuza Collective. Tuelo, are you with us there on the line?
I am.
How are you today?
Hey guys, I'm good. It's been a day filled of interviews.
Oh, just one more for the road. So
one more for the road.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us today. Our first question is just to get an understanding of what drew you specifically to the fashion industry. What drew you? So what inspired you to specifically join the fashion industry when you have obviously like a lot of other industries that you could have taken part in?
Yeah, I think I've always been a creative. Mm-hmm. I've always been somebody who likes to innovate, you know, come up with stuff. I remember it goes as far as back as middle school, where I would take my mathematics book because it was the two choir book, that, and I would draw all the way at the back. But as I grew older and understood my craft, you know, I was channeled to making clothes because I love the idea of constantly creating and not being stagnant in your creativeness. So the idea that I could constantly create something and never stopped, especially when it comes to fashion and art in general as a whole, sort of drew me and lured me into creating this as a career, or turning this into a career and a business.
It sounds like you knew quite early on in your life that that this is what you wanted to do. I mean, in terms and looking at the education system currently, I mean, there's definitely schooling for the fashion industry much later when you look at like from tertiary level onwards. Do you think that it would have made a significant contribution in your life if there had been something that specific available for you for very early on?
Yeah, I studied business when I was still in high school. Mm-hmm. And because there wasn't art school or art classes or anything like that. So it was just mainstream business economics, your accounting, or you would do your physics, you know. So had there been opportunities like we have today where you get to high school or you get to middle school or anywhere within your grade 12 and you sort of have that subject where sort of channels you. I mean, today's kids are very, you know, fortunate because they get to have like an art class, you know. When I was growing up, because I think I matriculated at 2004, if my memory serves me well, and there wasn't anything of that sort. There wasn't a syllabus sort of structure to sort of feed into the arts. Do you know what I mean? So you had to go to tertiary in order for you to get an opportunity to expand on something that you really loved.
Well, let's hope somebody from the Department of Education is also listening in.
I hope so too.
Moving right along, we just want to know, so what's the importance of protecting your work and your IP within the creative industry?
I'll tell you this for free. It's extremely important. As a designer, I've seen, I think when I was still coming up, because I literally started actively working in the industry in 2014 after I won a competition. And what I had realized then is that the very same collection that I had put out, in no less than a month, there were replicas of similar items. And at the time, I was not very educated or very informed about what to do in regards to that. And I think also, you know, when we post through our social medias and we put other people's work out there, it's important to accredit, to sort of credit the person, the designer, or the photographer or so forth. Because when people know who the garment is made by, it's easy for them to then contact that very same person, unlike somebody just putting out your work out there and without even crediting you. Mm-hmm. Instead of crediting you, because then when you just put it out there in the universe and you just say, I like this top or I like this dress, and you don't say who it was made by, any person can just go out and copy it. And I think also, speak about fashion specifically, because this is it's my background. I feel like there are no enough rules and regulations that protect designers and creators in the industry. I mean, Last year, I put out a collection within my brand, and I called it Collective Culture, where I was sort of fusing sort of our heritage, our African, our cultures, putting it in the form of a twist with the modern. Because what I realized at the time is that a lot of my clients were coming and they were saying, I want a gown, but I don't want a Western gown. I want something that is fused with South African cultures. And after having done that, literally replicas of my work were put out there. And I would go as far as researching and trying to sort of like pull out a whole investigation for myself to try and find out who is doing this. And when you get to the source of whoever is creating this replica of yours, you realize that there isn't much you can do about it, because of, first and foremost, the fabric that you use is not trademarked by you. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So it's a treasure fabric. You can easily go and buy it in a retail store. 10 other people can do the same. So I decided to implement a system of creating my own fabric, because in that sense, it's easy for me to protect it because I created it. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And nobody else can replicate it. But if it's something you can buy, if it's a fabric you can easily get at a retail store, anybody can do anything with it. There isn't much sort of like regulation that protects you as somebody who created something further out of that protects you as an individual.
So to our general public, like the listeners that are currently listening right now, so can make them understand, like, what impact does it have on a designer when they take your original work and they take it to a local designer and ask for it to be duplicated? What impact does that have, number one? And then lastly, what can they do to rectify the situation?
I've come to believe that people know what they do when they do it. I don't think people do things without the knowledge. I mean, I've had an incident, if you have a minute, I've had an incident where I went to a fabric store and this lady came with a picture of my dress and didn't realize that I was the one who had done it. She had no knowledge of it. And I remember she showed me, like, what do you think the designer, this fabric, I mean, on this picture was used? And I'm like, I actually made the dress. And I realized at that point that she was not even aware where the picture was coming from. The one thing that I will tell you it does, what this situation does to a designer, is that it literally cripples us financially. When I put out something out there, I'm trying to generate clientele so that it creates a source of income for me. So it's like, you're taking food away from me when you do that. And we are a growing industry. We're still a very small industry where we do not need such hiccups, you know, to sort of hinder the industry, because in order for an industry to grow, it needs to be profitable. So you're not only hindering me as an individual, somebody who came with the concept, but you're hindering the industry at large, because I would charge a certain amount for it. You can go and get it somewhere else for a cheaper price. And then the quality is compromised. I don't know if you know what I'm saying.
I totally
do. So it's little things like this, because I always say it takes little things to break something so huge, like copying something and making a replica of it and sort of compromising the quality.
Thank you so much. That was Tuelo Nguyuza from Tuelo Nguyuza Collective. And he was just giving us a rundown of the impact of theft of intellectual property within the fashion industry. Thank you so much for your nuggets of wisdom, Tuelo.
On the other side of this, we're going to be looking at the law side of it. How can you protect yourself? We have an intellectual property lawyer who's going to be letting us know how you can actually use the law to your advantage. So we're going to be talking about that. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz.
We're talking intellectual property on The Business Buzz today, and it's time for us to move on to the next segment as we look now at the actual legal landscape around intellectual property law. And on the line, we're joined by Khali Kedijang, I hope that I pronounced that correctly, who is the owner and founder of The Creative Bar, which is a 100% black woman-owned legal consultancy which aims to offer legal insights on intellectual property to creatives. They specifically focus on issues around trademarks, domain name registrations, copyright, research and development agreements, together with anti-counterfeiting. How are you, Khali?
I'm very good, and thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you so much for being on the show. So as we begin, generally speaking, do you think that South African artists are getting the fair end of the stick as far as intellectual property is concerned, or do you think that they are often being robbed?
Well, I think that the laws provide a lot of protection. So in terms of the law, we've got very good laws that actually protect the artist and say that whoever is the creator of an artwork or content should be the one who earns the rights, therefore be compensated. So the law is very straightforward on the protection of artistic works, but the environment in which we were and the oppression, the system itself in which art and culture works in the country does not allow for artists to access those laws. The courts are expensive, the getting a lawyer is expensive.
Hello.
We seem to have lost Khali on the line. We're going to work to try to get her back on the line. But as we just continue talking, I think it was very interesting because, you know, for me, the thing with artists sometimes, I feel like people don't know, because as much as we talk about them being victims when it comes to having their work copied and all that stuff, if as a designer we are scared, as a designer you see your design on the street, can you really be mad if you never protected your work to begin with?
I mean, it's quite unfortunate because... Hello?
I can hear you guys.
Oh, yes, we have Khali back on the line. You were just telling us a little bit around artists and intellectual property.
Sorry, I didn't hear that. Can you repeat that?
No, I was just saying, before you got cut off, you were telling us around...
Basically, before I cut off, the long and short of what I was saying is the law provides very clear protection for artists, but the environment and just the way arts and culture works and the systems that are put in place don't afford the artists access to their rights, access to their courts, because it's too expensive. Big corporates often use their financial muscle to frustrate and strain emerging creatives. So in that aspect, they get robbed. But in the legal framework and legal policy, we've got sort of a law that is for creatives.
And in terms of the Creative Bar, what services does the Creative Bar offer to creatives?
Well, the Creative Bar, basically, we're art and technology lawyers. So what we're trying to do with our work is make an environment or create an environment in which creativity and innovation is profitable. So we're basically just looking at how we can best protect artistic work. So anything to do in the realm of creation and innovation, how we can legally protect that so people can use those rights to get compensation. So, and we have a big focus on the protection of indigenous and traditional knowledge. What we can do as Africans to make sure we safeguard our culture and everything surrounding who we are so that generations to come can profit from the richness of the African culture.
And we live in the digital area. Like, how can one protect the intellectual property, like on social media, where people can literally just grab content and share ideas as they wish?
The tricky part of social media is that the terms and conditions, because they're providing a platform, and you can either decline or accept the terms and conditions. So if you're not happy with Instagram or Twitter's terms and conditions, you have an option not to use it. But usually these social media platforms, their terms and conditions allow that they own the content.
So in terms, you agree to those conditions, so it's not something that you can fight. Mm. What you can do is be smart about how you post your content. So provide links to your work, you know. So don't put your content maybe on social media or how you put your content. You must be very smart about how you put your content, but try as much as possible to always direct the traffic to your own site that you own and can control.
And on a just slightly different tangent, we recently saw that with the South African actors, they're currently motivating for the adoption of the Performance Protection Amendment Bill, which allows for South African actors to claim a residual income for their work and on audiovisual mediums. What are your thoughts on this development? And do you think that they'll win the case? And what would it mean if they did or didn't win the case?
Well, my thoughts are that I think in... I have been just following the conversations, but not really the bill, the conversations around why actors feel that it's important. But I think it's a valid claim because they are bringing these words and everything else, all the other art forms to life, and they need to be compensated for that, for bringing the story to life. And I think, yes, there's a big focus, they say, on producers who seek the content, but I think we oversee who brings the story to life and how it's consumed. So I am rooting for actors to win the bid. Do I think that they're going to win the case? I don't have a strong opinion on it at the moment because I'm just following the conversation, but I would like them to win based on, I think they have a valid cry as creators and artists.
Now, Khali, one of the things that we actually spoke about just now is the fact that a lot of creatives tend not to know the types of protections that are afforded to them by the law. And sometimes, as much as we can feel sorry for people who have their works copied, there's very little recourse that can happen. But from my understanding, there are certain works that just by virtue of you producing it and it being in the public domain, you are afforded certain rights, even without formally going to register or going through a formal process of protecting that work.
Yeah.
Could you give us what some of those works are and what type of conditions apply there?
So those are called copyrights. So that right that you're speaking of, that doesn't need formal registration as a copyright, and most of the most artistic works fall in under copyright. So it's your music, your creative writing, your literature, it's your sound creations, it's your cinematographic film, so movies, it's your software development, so artistic works in terms of fine arts. All sort of the create. So most of the producing those works would fall under copyright. So, and how you just what a piece of advice that I would give to artists is document your creative process so that at the end, even though you have created this, you can prove your creation. It just makes it easier for anyone who, if you have been infringed upon, for me as a legal representative to take on the case, because you can show how you brought this creation to life. So if you're writing, let's say, like a piece, you can say various drafts on it. If you're doing a painting, take pictures every now and again. And I think it would be, not only would it help you legally, but I think it would be a good journaling process for any artist.
So that was us. We were on the line with Khali Kedishang, who is the founder and owner of The Creative Bar, which is a 100% Black-owned legal consultancy which aims to offer legal insights on intellectual property to creatives. Big insight for me coming out from there. You heard what she said. She said you need to document your creative process so that at the end of the day, even if you don't go and if you can't afford, for example, having a formal registration, you can actually then prove to say that I mob justice.
Yes.
I did this thing.
Look at you.
But anyway, that's it on the law side of things. On the other side of this, we're going to be talking on the music side. We're going to be talking with Luke Muyambi from Spearhead Arts around what it means to protect your sounds. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
Mob justice on The Business Buzz.
We're talking intellectual property on The Business Buzz today. Remember, you can keep in touch with us. We are Vow FM, that's Voice of Vids on Facebook, and you can find us on Twitter, that's at Vow FM. Our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. We've spoken to an intellectual property lawyer, we've spoken to a fashion designer. Right now we want to switch over to the music industry. On the line we're joined by Luke Muyambi, who is the head of Spearhead Arts. He is the founder and he's also on the creative side a producer and an artist. How are you, Luke?
I'm good, thanks. How are you, Mob Justice?
Oh,
and
fine.
I think it's Flingiri. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you, Luke.
As we begin our discussion, what is the actual business case, like in terms of getting money, record sales, all of that stuff, for protecting your music as a musician in South Africa?
Oh, so you're basically asking, how can I get money out of my music, essentially, in South Africa?
Yes.
All right. Out of the ordinary way that people know, which is performance, but from an intellectual property perspective, it's actually when your songs get played on radio, each time that happens, you're actually supposed to get a royalty paid through to you. But for that to happen, you actually have to register your musical works with the South African Music Rights Organization, which is a collective management organization. Their responsibility is just to make sure that they collect money from the radio stations every single time that your record is actually played, and then they distribute that to you.
And in terms of the general mood, Luke, what's the general mood and sentiment in the South African music industry around IP? And is this something that people know about and that artists are registering? Are artists registering their music?
Well, I will say that we are still in the beginning phase. Although the organization has been, SAMRO has been here for quite some time, there's still a big gap in terms of knowledge. So it's not a matter of do artists don't want to actually notify SAMRO for their works. It's more of do artists actually know the procedure and what's actually supposed to happen when they actually notify their works. And I will say that in that regard, very few artists actually know that every time you actually make a musical work, you're supposed to actually register it so that you can actually get royalties out of it. It's actually quite a sad situation because in South Africa we don't have any institution that actually provides this type of knowledge, except if you actually go to SAMRO yourself to actually try and inquire. There isn't a base where you could say I could actually go into the industry and learn how the music business actually works. You know, unlike if you're doing an economics degree and you wanted to find out how money works in South Africa, you can go to a university to do that. It's just so unfortunate in the music business. You can go and get a music degree, let's say, at Wits, but actually coming out of Wits, you know more about composition than about the music itself, music business itself. That's an unfortunate situation that we face in South Africa.
I think that's a great bridge to our next question, which is, do you mind explaining a little bit about royalties, SAMRO, and the different protections that are afforded to producers versus songwriters versus performers?
Oh, okay. Maybe let me start with the different rights that producers actually get. The first thing that we have to actually do is distinguish what type of producers we actually are talking about. Just like the film industry, a producer can be a director of a movie and can actually be the cameraman for the movie. It's similar within the music industry, where a producer can actually be a musician and can actually be a beat maker within the production of a song. But from the traditional producers, this was basically a person who would get the right musicians to come in and play the song. But because we're evolving, producers are now actually the composers of music. So nowadays you get producers in the olden day didn't necessarily have to get any royalties because their work was more of an administration job. They would come in and put in the right musicians together to make a song. But producers nowadays, you find an artist actually sits down and then he makes a beat and then he composes a song and then AKA comes in and then he raps over it. That in itself is a form of composition. And we're in a position where in South Africa, we are struggling to get producers acknowledged for their side of the composition because the industry is still stuck with the old traditional way to think that a producer was mainly that guy. But we're beginning to see that producers are actually more and more getting involved on the compositional side. Songwriter, basically, it's a person who actually comes in and writes the lyrics to the song or the melody of what the lead singer is actually supposed to sing over the instrumental itself. So in the old traditional sense, you would find that songwriters actually owned the 100% of the song. But nowadays we're transitioning where beat makers and the songwriters can actually share a split in the ownership of the song, where because the beat maker actually made the music and composed what the music was doing in the background, and the songwriter composed the lyrics and the melody of what the singer was actually doing, we're getting to a position where we're getting a 50-50 percentage split in terms of the ownership of the song. So what that means is if the song actually gets on radio, technically it's supposed to be split between the musician who actually sang on the song, the songwriter, and the beat maker, the producer who actually produced the song itself. I don't know if I made sense in that area.
Absolutely.
Luke, going forward, would you then advise, because one of the things you alluded to earlier on was just the fact that there isn't a one-stop shop where people can get this knowledge. So do you advise that people actually go and enlist the services of an intellectual or music specialist lawyer, for example, or do you or are there resources that you would advise some of the up-and-coming producers and musicians to actually go look at perhaps websites or books that they can read that will better educate them?
Oh, okay. I will reemphasize what you were that I've just said before. Unfortunately, in SA, we are in a situation where everybody else knows about the music business except the musicians within the business. So, if you're coming to Vids, you've got a better chance of understanding the music business if you come into Vits and you do a law degree, then you actually come into Vits and then you do a music degree, because in the music department they're only going to teach you how to perfect your piano skills versus how do you understand copyright. How do you've got a better chance of understanding that if you actually go to and do law. So engaging a lawyer would be pretty expensive, but we are in a situation where they actually hold the keys to the industry. The music business is basically a law basis contract. It's a contract business, so they actually hold the keys to the industry. So what I would say, if you are a starting musician, obviously a lawyer would be too much for you. But across the road from Vits, you've got the South African Music Rights Organization, and they seem to have all the information that you might need to actually maneuver yourself, navigate yourself in the music industry. And the best thing about that is that they give you all the information free. So I would say the first place that you actually need to visit to actually get most of the information that you need might be to actually visit and try to get as much information as you can about your craft before you actually even start engaging in doing your craft. But this is different to if you are actually thinking to actually engage a record label and actually get signed. There, I would say you would need to actually engage a lawyer so that you can have your rights best represented. Because at the end of the day, even though you get the information that you do need from SAMRO, it's still a contractual business, and you would need a lawyer who's going to read through the fine print to actually understand what you're getting at the end of the day, to avoid those situations where you would feel like, okay, I have been exploited for my work, but it wasn't. It was basically because you signed what you didn't know you're signing, essentially.
So, you heard it from Luke. He is saying that you need to go and educate yourself about your craft. Go and visit SAMRO. You heard that the information is for free if you're a musician, and just educate yourself. Getting in touch with a lawyer can be expensive, but if you're going to be engaging with a record label, then definitely you need to get a lawyer. On the other side of this, we are coming to the end of the show. Thank you to Luke Muyambi. He is the founder, producer, and he's an artist. He is the head of Spearhead Arts. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz.
We've come to the end of the show. Thank you so much to everyone who listened. Thank you to everyone who participated. Thank you to Luke. Thank you to Khali. And how do you pronounce Tuelo? Is that how you pronounce the name? Around the fashion industry, mm-hmm. The legal implications, and lastly, the music industry. Mm. Your takeaways?
It's important to do research about whatever field it is that you're in. Mm. I think that was the main takeaway for me, and find out what knowledge is freely available for you to access. Mm. And for the stuff that obviously costs money, try and do more research so that you're not paying premiums for work that you could have done at more affordable rates. I think it just boils down to research.
Okay. For me, big takeaway is what Khali said first about documenting your creative process so that you have proof. But the other one for me was what Luke was saying at the end. I think it's, for any of our listeners out there, and perhaps part of the business team, a business opportunity for you to create a one-stop shop for providing information to musicians and artists around protecting yourself.
Knowledge is power.
Knowledge is power. So that's the end of the show. Slengiwe, how can people keep in touch with us on the show?
So they can find and follow us on Voice of Wits FM 88.1, and they can also follow us on the following social media platforms. On Facebook, we can be found at VAR FM, Voice of Wits, and Wits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we are at the handle VAR FM. Our hashtag is Business Buzz. On WhatsApp, we are available at 084-078-4912. They can also stream us live on www.vowfm.co.za, and our podcasts are also available on www.vits.journalism.co.za/business.
So with that, we've reached the end of tonight's show. Thank you to our amazing team, our executive producer, that's Elner Schutz, together with our producer, Welcome Lee Shiva, and then our technical producer, that's Kotluano Gwench Serame. Don't miss The Business Buzz, same time, same place, next week for more insight into the world of business. Coming up next from 7 to 8 p.m., we have the team from Life Beats coming to the studio. From myself, Mudiwa Mob, Justice Kavaza, Slang Uazondo, and the rest of the team, is good evening and take care.
Peace.
Mob Justice on The Business Buzz. Listen to The Business Buzz every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. only on VAR FM. The Business Buzz Podcast.